Hello, folks. Welcome to the Flight Test Podcast 021. In this podcast, we talk about the Toledo Show. If you live in Europe, this is a great one for you to listen to because we talk about the more details about the Flight Test Meetup. We'll keep talking about details as those come. That's going to be on June 25th and or June 26th. Also, the guys are shoving out to CEF today meet with people and hang out with people there. While they're at CEF, I'm going to be working on a website for Flight Fest, which will be the hub for everything. So dates, hotels, camping info, map, all that fun stuff will be available. We're releasing this podcast today on April 7th, so hopefully I will have that live by April 11th. If you're listening after April 11th, we're going to put up a banner on flighttest.com. So in the very top slider up there, look for a link to that website. All about Flight Fest and any information. If you're planning on coming to the event, that's going to be the place for you. This episode is generously sponsored by HostGator.com. Again, we can't do everything. We can't possibly make every kind of content that has to do with radio control just because it's such a diverse hobby, as you guys might know. A lot of people start out the same way in the hobby, but then it just kind of shoots off into different directions. So the truth is we can't do it all. If you have expertise or if you're interested in making a website of your own, HostGator can help you easily do that. For just a few dollars a month, I believe $3 or $4 a month, you can have your own website. And HostGator does things like one-click install for WordPress, if you're familiar with WordPress or Drupal. They also have their own easy-to-use website builder. HostGator is also known for their 24/7, 365 customer service, so they're always there when you need help. Please use the coupon code FLIGHTTEST to get 30% off, and that really, really helps us out as well if you can use that coupon code. So if you make a website with HostGator that is on a neat RC topic, something that we're not covering near as well as we could, and if you're helping others, please let us know. Send me an email, austin@flighttest.com, and I will be sure to give you a shout out on the show. So anyway, guys, please enjoy. And without any further ado, here we go.
All right, well, we just want to jump into this or what?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Oh, great. Okay.
That was smooth.
Welcome, everyone, to Podcast 21. Cooking along here with the podcast. I'm Austin Fury.
I'm David.
My name is Alex.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're going to be talking about things that we haven't discussed yet that we're talking about. I figured that since everyone's getting ready... Well, none of us have discussed what we're talking about today. We literally walked in the door.
Mind blown.
This is truly an off-the-cuff podcast.
This is as off-the-cuff as it gets. But you guys are leaving for CEF today.
Yes. Yeah.
Just got back from Toledo.
Yes.
Leak signals. I'm actually going to be setting this one out. However, I'm sure you guys are going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you who don't know, CEF is the Southeastern...
Electric Fun Fly.
Freaky Fly?
Not Freaky Fly.
That's it.
What's up with all these acronyms?
I don't know. We went from NEF.
Basically, CEF is a fly-in for RC planes in Georgia.
All electric.
Weak Signals was like an expo convention in Toledo. All indoor, no flying. Just go there and look at cool stuff.
Oh.
Meet cool people. And
cool people's the key right there.
Yeah. So do we want to jump into that straight away?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
All
right. So,
first of all, why don't you say why you're not coming to CEF? Because it's kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife, Anna, who, up until recently, worked here at Flight Test.
Well, she's actually back there right now working.
Yeah.
That's a great point. So she, who currently still works at Flight Test, is going to be having a baby in about a week.
Congratulations, so, brother.
If, you know, if that were to happen while I was at CEF, that'd be a little awkward. People would be upset.
Yeah.
Including me. So, yeah, I'm staying home.
Well, I can't wait to influence your child.
You've already influenced. They call Alex Uncle Alex. And what did, was it Michael or Noah that was like?
I don't know. They were arguing about something. And
I think it was Michael.
Noah said something like, Alex said, or somebody said, what are you talking about, Michael? Alex is the smartest person we know.
And I would totally say, yes, he is.
Which is just a glowing compliment.
You're One of your sons got a bearded dragon recently, right?
Yeah, there's official hero for that one. Those things are so stinking cool.
Isn't it?
They're amazing.
Yeah, me and my wife, we had maybe at least 10, 15 of them.
You bred them, right?
Yes, we bred the miniature ones a little bit.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah, they're awesome. But what's the name of that bearded dragon? Well,
it's Noah's lizard, and we were discussing names, and then they decided to name it Alex. So we have a bearded dragon. The weirdest thing is I get home and I was like, Mike, Noah, you know, have you held Alex today? Have you petted him? Because you got to handle him, right? To make sure they stay nice and timid.
Did he poop today?
Yeah. Did he check on Alex? Have you given him water? Well, long story short, my youngest son wants a bearded dragon now. And Alex, are we allowed to say that you're engaged?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we had to have Alex get married because we need to hire more people and we only hire wives. So he immediately, you know, honored that and got engaged to Miss Lindsay. And so Michael, my youngest, knowing the whole story, is like, I'm going to name my bearded dragon Lindsay. Just
and,
like that.
Yeah, and that's exactly how he says her name every time.
Yes.
Lindsay. He's like, Lindsay.
So I don't know. I'm waiting, to see him start growing his hair out real long and, you know.
That's hilarious.
Okay, we're officially like 4 minutes into the podcast, and we're talking like 3.5 minutes about
bearded dragons, pregnant people, and engagement.
I have one more thing to say, though.
Yeah. I have one thing after that.
Continue. I was just making an observation.
Sorry,
I didn't.
Guys. This is flight test. Honestly,
I didn't know the lizard's name was Alex until one day I came to work and everybody was discussing how Josh was rubbing Alex's beard and he really liked it.
And by the way, Alex does have a beard, so that was just wrong on so many levels. Yeah, no, I was petting Alex. Okay, get it right.
All I wanted to say is that I think we should get Alex a little flight test shirt. That's all I think.
Alex the lizard.
Alex the lizard.
Hey, maybe we could.
Because I wear a double XL.
Or we could get Alex, the actual Alex, a little flight test shirt too. And that could be funny.
We should take a next step of awesomeness and turn it into a leash. All right. Is this lizard?
So yeah, RC planes. Yeah.
RC planes. Actually, I want to make a quick announcement before we get into Toledo. June 25th or June 26th. We're not exactly sure yet. We're going to be having a flight test Europe meetup.
Yes.
So this is going to be located in southern France. I guess there's a general name for the area is the province, I guess is the general name for the area. So if you're in Europe, you probably know where that is. I've never been there, so I wouldn't know. Well, I've been in Europe, but
is it Provence?
I haven't been. Yeah, sure, that.
Provence.
Okay. Or if you're an American, it could be the province.
Okay. Because it sounds a very, the province.
They're like, now, which province?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, say it again.
Provence?
Okay, maybe? There you go. That's where we're going.
You are so culturally gifted.
No, I just pretend to around you guys.
It works.
Because you know nothing.
It doesn't take much to impress us. So.
Oh, I'm clipping again.
So yeah, meeting and hanging out with our European audience has always seemed pretty far-fetched. We would get a lot of requests, you know, hey, guys, come to Europe or come to the UK. And sounds awesome, but we honestly, that really hasn't become a reality until very, very recently.
Yeah. And you guys made it happen, and also Immersion RC.
Yeah, thanks to Immersion RC, they're the ones that have made it not so far-fetched anymore.
They made it a reality.
They made it a reality because we are going to Europe. We're going to have a meetup. We're going to be able to fly with you guys, meet you guys June 25th or June 26th. Maybe both dates. We'll see what the response is. And I was talking to the guys in Immersion, and they just wanted us to announce it on the podcast, or they gave me permission to. Because we've been kind of – we mentioned it in the last podcast, but we wanted to not release the details quite yet. But
We don't know how many times we're going to get this great honor. So please, if there's any possibility, we want to shake your hands, make memories, fellowship, all that good stuff. Immersion's making it happen. So if it's any possibility to make it, we'd love to meet you.
It could potentially be our first and last time in Europe. So we'd be really, really happy to see you guys.
I do drink lots of Mountain Dew crazy.
Another thing, too, is we're going to be doing some episodes with Immersion RC, so if there's something that you have in mind that you'd like to see, because we're all, us in Immersion, we're kicking around ideas for episodes, but if there's something that you specifically want to see, let us know, and we can definitely see what we can do.
There's three specifically that are going to be educational and based around FPV topics that we do have planned. But the rest, we don't have 100% in stone. We have ideas and we have episodes we're going to go down there and try to get. But we're also open to suggestions. So please
send on Facebook or whatever, send your suggestions in.
They sure have given us a lot of freedom. It's amazing. They're flying us down there, and they're like, you know what, here's what we want to get, and we designed some episodes, and they're like, you know, let's just make sure we can fit everything in.
So. And Emergent is working on some extremely cool stuff, and so we hope to, during that trip, be able to unveil some of that. Yeah. And we're just really, really excited about the trip.
And if you guys are buying something or communicating with Emergent, if you are happy about this, let them know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, Emergent is going to have a kind of a blog-type page on their website dedicated to the trip. So you guys, if you can't make it or if you don't live in Europe, you're going to be able to follow the trip. I don't have the link for that yet because it's not up yet, but tune in next podcast. That will be available. Also, we need your help with something because we're doing this Emergent RC trip. Actually, it's going to be a road trip essentially through the Alps to mm-hmm. through to southern France. We're going to be capturing content along the way, along the road trip, that we can bring back here to the headquarters and pump out to YouTube and show you guys. But here's the thing. The guys in Immersion had a really great idea of having T-shirts to kind of commemorate the trip.
T-shirts.
I was going to call him out on that, but I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I thought it was
well,
okay.
I'm glad that everyone's ready to call me out. T-shirts to commemorate the trip. And so the purpose of having these is to hand out to people we meet along the way so they can remember the trip too. Also, it's a potential we'll have some for sale. Sorry, everyone in here.
The squirrel.
It's very squirrel.
No, Dave Knopp is here. They're looking at wanted to tell him he can go in the RV and put his stuff in there. The RV is literally outside.
That's nice of you. Yeah, the RV to go to stuff is outside. But anyway, let me get through this. Yeah. So here's the thing. We need
T-shirts.
We need a T-shirt design. Yes. And we're going to have a competition. The prize is going to be an awesome variety package from Immersion RC, Fat Shark, and Flight Test.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to send it to the T-shirt design winner. If you have an idea for a T-shirt for this road trip, here's the thing. We actually haven't even named it yet. And the name Immersion Flight Test Road Trip doesn't really have a nice ring to it. So we need you guys to come up with a design for a T-shirt and to name the road trip as well and include that on the shirt. The only thing that we ask is that the T-shirt's black and that it includes the logos of Immersion RC and Flight Test. So anyway, if you are design-oriented and want to have a chance to win a really cool package, if you have a design, email it to me at austin@flighttest.com.
I want a T-shirt.
I do, too.
Can we design T-shirts?
You can try. Doesn't mean you win the package.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
David, if you would like to submit your T-shirt design, you can email me.
I already do while you were talking on my hand here.
Well,
I'm going to take a picture of it and just send it.
You have to email it to me like everyone else. So don't show me your hand.
Also, I'm going to go back to Sweden at the end of this month, which is the month of April.
Way to make us all downer now.
Yeah, now it's
a lot, David.
Yeah, because all the fun stuff comes after this. So, yeah, I'm going to go back. The 29th is when my plane leaves, and we thought we could have a little party or get together mm-hmm. on the 26th.
Yes. 26th.
Yes.
I would call you out, but I'm a nice guy.
So. Well, and we're going to figure out details and announce. Maybe I'd honestly like to have some flying involved. And frankly, our headquarters is kind of
lacking in that. Yeah, it gets really crowded. So we're looking into that, and we can tell you on the next podcast or a video.
Yes.
We'll see.
Maybe we can have a balsa bees.
Ooh. Maybe.
Well, we probably shouldn't spitball on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the Toledo show.
Toledo week.
Toledo.
Signals.
Week signals Toledo. This was the 240 billionth installment, or
there's
like
been
there.
A lot of them.
Yes. Yeah.
60, I think.
Wow.
And I have to say, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was
your first time?
It's my first time at Toledo show.
So what do you think then?
It was about four times what I expected.
Really?
Put it that way. Like, I've been to expos before for lots of different things. And so I know what an expo's like.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Coffee? Well. Chocolate?
Chocolate
expos?
Yes.
I've been to chocolate expos before.
Okay.
They're great. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I mean, it was just really well done. Great booths. Great vendors
great
there.
Great people.
Great people.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Shoulder to shoulder people sometimes.
And lots of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just really cool. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah.
We got lots of shout-outs, but I think we honestly got to get in a video or something because I got my phone filled with names.
Yeah. It was awesome meeting everybody.
Yeah, I can remember some names off the top of my head, but I feel bad if I forget the others. I wrote a lot of them down.
Yeah. And we have pictures too.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. So yeah, we'll
find a way to give the shout outs and share the memories in a way where we can actually honor the people.
We'll write a song or something there.
Oh.
Can we harmonize?
I'll beatbox.
So Josh, you and me, we took a little different approach. We divide and conquer this time.
It was pretty interesting. You were with Chad, Chris, and Wayne.
Yeah, and they dumped me in the first 30 seconds.
You know why, though? It's because everyone swarmed around you and they couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I was moving very slowly through the expo, and it was awesome. It was absolutely fantastic. I met so many good people.
A lot of great people.
But yeah, so
I felt bad. I felt like a jerk because I wasn't getting to see you at all. We'd like pass and then we'd be separated again.
Yeah.
But
it was kind of funny. I shook your hand and roughly around middle the first time I saw you middle of the expo. So we were there. We showed up at around 9-ish, 9:30. Mm-hmm.
I spent the night. I rolled in around 10. I thought I was ahead of you guys, and here you guys got in before.
Yeah, we got an early start.
I
got
to share a funny story. My wife, we went to buy the tickets for you guys.
Oh,
and
yeah?
We already bought them, and I called you up to say, hey, when you come, don't buy tickets, and you're already in the expo. So we had four extra tickets, and I told my wife, I was like, well, find out if we can give them away from the ticket box if that's illegal or something. I'm like, no, fine. So I was like, here, have some flight test stickers, go around, give away, these free tickets then.
Oh, cool.
Because we had four free tickets. Well, I see my wife in the corner of my eye, and she's talking, and the people are looking at like, are you a scalper? What's going on here? And she's like, no, we want to give you a free ticket. It's okay. We bought extra here. This is from Flight Test. And they're looking, and then finally they get these big goofy grins and walk into the expo. But I was like, how hard was it for you to give away free tickets? She's like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, people thought they were getting scammed or something. What is this? What's the catch?
Nice.
But it was funny. Garrett, I'm giving shout-outs now. There was a gentleman named Garrett that just touched my heart. And also a young gentleman that his two friends wrote letters, and guys, you got to read them. It's addressed to the flight test crew, but it honestly made me weepy. The two separate letters delivered by a father and son, and what an honor. And guys, the community is the reason why we're here. It's why we've been blessed so much to be able to do so many different things. We're never going to forget that. And just when we think that, you guys have taken us, you take us to another level. And also the memories, the things that are shared with us definitely impacts us. So please, if there's an opportunity to talk with you, if you see us, please stop and talk to us. We love talking with you, find out, what you're about and the memories you have. It really inspires us.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Did I ramble too long?
No, okay. You're still good. I'm going to give some weak shout-outs because
I'm horrible with names.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Do you have your phone on you, Josh?
Yeah, I'm going to get my phone while you guys
do
that as well.
Okay, keep talking.
Talk about yourselves. So I met a guy and a father and a son that just built a Viggen, and they were talking to me like, yeah, we did a prop version and we put some tape on. I'm like, is it orange? He's like, yeah, it's orange. Orange and black. I'm like, yeah, that's are you in the build thread? I'm like, because I always check the build thread. I lurk more than post because I don't want to disturb the flow too much. Because a lot of people, whenever I post, they're like, start asking other questions. So I was following it, and it's such a gorgeous build. It was awesome, and he said he loved it so far. He wanted more power in it, though.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Did you guys, your turn. Did you meet someone?
Well, here's Josh back with his phone.
You like that sound effect? Was that pretty good?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you're tired and you drink too much Mountain Dew.
We got to see Adam again.
Yes, Adam Drain.
Yeah.
B-17.
He's a cool guy.
Absolutely fantastic guy, I have to say.
Such a great heart. We're going to be working with him in the future and
hopefully,
really amazing things.
Should be good stuff.
Yeah, okay, keep talking, I'm almost there.
Almost there, okay. So, Adam, I did hang out a lot with Adam throughout the day. He ditched me after a while, though, so thank you, Adam. Because I was, a lot of people, I talked to a lot of people, and the poor guy couldn't see anything.
Actually, well, I had to leave pretty early.
Also, a guy named Frank, I don't know his last name, I'm sorry, Frank, but he had long hair like mine. And he was all super excited because he thought it would be hard to find us, and he said that we were the first thing he saw right when he walked in.
Yes.
So it was real cool meeting you, Frank.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we don't really get a booth or anything when we go to things. We just walk around.
I saw Frank.
Yeah. He said he talked to you.
Nice. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
All right. So we got a lot of people. I talked about Garrett. It's Bernard is his dad, Garrett Schroeder. Schroeder, did I get that last name right? And he built a 50% little tiny old speedster.
Such a nice guy.
They were awesome.
So laid back.
Yeah.
Just so chill. Really, really great guy. And also, he did have a Deprom, but he had a pretty cool mod because the right turn tendencies were there too. He just cut a little sliver and kind of kicked the one wingtip down like a little aileron.
Yeah.
And made a little trim tab at the end. It was so cute.
That's cool.
And John and Rob, that was another, I believe, father and son.
Yes.
And Jordan and Bob. Am I ringing bells here?
Yeah.
Jordan and Bob. Some people didn't give me their last names. I'm sorry. Curtis. This gentleman was awesome. He was a really kind gentleman, but there was a plane design he was trying to find the manufacturer of, and he couldn't find it. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to take this picture to flight test and say, you know what? For your next design, can you do it? And what it was is a 3D prop and slot plane.
Oh, really?
And it was really cool, but he took the picture. It touched my heart to think, okay, I can't find this, so I'm going to see if they'll design it and make it a reality for people, because I guess he said it performed amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Ethan and his dad. Let's see.
Ethan. Who's the guy with the huge check?
The guy with that was Ethan, I believe.
Yeah, it was Ethan.
They were so happy.
Which he actually emailed me today.
Not happy because he met flight test, but because he won a check for an essay.
What?
Oh, you did? You weren't there?
No.
Ethan and his dad and his mom.
We walked in from outside, and Ethan was just holding this huge check.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh my gosh, it's flight test!" He won. What did he win? He won something from the AMA.
Yeah, he won money from the AMA for writing a really great essay.
Like almost almost a thousand bucks. Or
oh
something.
Wow!
Yeah, it was like $750
just
bucks.
Start writing
and,
stuff.
And his mom and his dad were so proud. But the kid, he was sharp as a tack, so witty. And,
how old
was he?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I'm going to insult him. I'm guessing he's, what, 14, 13?
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, really, really great guy. Boy, and Ethan, if I got your age way wrong, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's my wife calling.
Okay. Awkward.
Yeah. Well, I want to be truthful. I'm sorry. I'm going to message her and tell her I can't talk because I'm in a podcast.
Or you can just answer it.
Huh?
Sorry. Yeah, just go ahead.
Tell her she's on the podcast.
You're live.
I already said that. She would kill me if I did that to her.
Yeah.
So, well, she's a sweet girl, but she would kill me.
She'd probably keep the peace.
So yeah. I know you probably have more names, Josh, but maybe we can get those pictures and post them in the show notes.
That would definitely
be cool, yeah. I met a really nice guy called David. Oh, I can't remember the last name. He was from Belgium.
Oh, yeah, I met David, too.
Yeah, French accent, and we shared stories about how America is a really weird place.
Yeah, I came up and you guys were having a little foreign David party.
Yeah.
I felt really left out.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah, it was a really good conversation, and we met a lot of good vendors as well, like Joe Vermillion, 3D Aerobatics.
We already knew him, though.
Yeah.
Precision Aerobatics, you mean?
Sorry.
That's okay. PA.
Yeah. PA, yeah.
Yep,
so,
over a million.
Yeah, and he threw out a challenge for combat.
Yes, a Joe Null, it's going down.
Yeah, and it was funny. He was like, sure, we all destroy your nice planes. He was like, no, we're going to fly Bloody Wonders.
Yes. So like, you know, this would be
it's
good.
Like, I see what you did
We're going to start this grassroots, okay, right now. We did a thing, strategic combat at NEF.
Yes.
Where we had the streamers. Well, Joe just loved that. He thought it was really great. But what we were talking about at the booth was, what if all the Precision Aerobatics guys like had blue streamers and we all had yellow streamers?
Ah.
So it was like teams. You follow me? And by the way, we're going to be going to Null. If any of you guys want to get in on an awesome combat, I don't know if they're going to let us do it or not. But you know what? We could all be flying at the same time and it just happens. long story short, yeah, bring your Bloody Wonders and let's get crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that would be sweet.
Yeah, so it's going down. At Null.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Let's switch gears a little bit. Did you guys see anything cool?
There was like a 20-foot wingspan B-17.
Oh, my gosh. And the rivets on that.
The rivets. Like, you actually had to get real close to see them.
Yeah.
But they were like scale rivets.
I don't know how much time. I mean, yeah, how big was it?
Like, it was like 18-foot wingspan, yeah. I think.
Oh, my God.
17.
I don't know how they got... through the doors. Yeah. It was absolutely enormous.
Gas powered.
It was so detailed. I looked. I could not see the engine clearly. They're gas engines, but the cylinders in front of them looked so scale. You swore that was the engine.
Yep.
But behind it, I couldn't tell what side. It was so well covered and concealed.
On each of the props, there was like little like wear streaks.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a real
one. It was awesome. It was yeah, to clarify, the weak signals also has a best in show. They have static models set up, or a static display, I mean, with RC models. And they give away best in show, and they give awards.
There's a bunch of different awards. Yeah, there's like old timer or retro models, and there's all these old school models that are just like pristine,
so,
very beautiful.
Yeah, there's not only vendors there. There's also models that people built, and like huge
and one of the models. One of the larger swap meets in the area.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Year. The upstairs, the downstairs is just the vendors. And the best in show, and then the upstairs is a little bit more vendors and swap area, swap meet kind of a deal.
Which is pretty cool. It's actually kind of funny because some of the planes, I think I saw like this huge, massive.
It was an extra 300, I believe. Or a Sukhoi.
Yeah. But huge orange one, like massive. And I swear that I saw it last year. Yeah. And me and Austin were joking that. This guy's telling his wife that he's selling it, but he had it marked at like $4,000 or something crazy like that.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, babe, it's for sale.
People just don't want it. I don't get it.
Same thing with actually last year, the guy who won Best in Show in the competition was this big, crazy, huge green dragon.
Yes. Yeah.
It was fiberglass, like beautiful, like it looked like a real dragon.
It shot fire.
Yeah. It did all this crazy stuff. And I don't know, this may be not true, but I think I saw it on Facebook that the guy's selling that for $60,000.
Oh, wow.
I think that may be another thing. Like, yeah, babe, I swear it's for sale. Like, I told you I tried to sell it. I'm trying.
Oh, did he ever get it in the air? I know the prototypes he flew.
I heard
he flew it, but I'm not sure. I think so.
I heard he didn't fly it before the show, but I heard he was supposed to afterwards.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, pretty cool. A lot of huge models. And
we didn't get to have our swap meet buyout.
I know. I never made it upstairs. I only made it through three quarters or two thirds of the show in general. Yeah. I mean, I didn't try too hard because I rather talked with the people that wanted to talk. But yeah, I tried to get through it a little bit at least.
Yeah, which last year we got the gasser. What was it called? The Roadrunner.
Roadrunner.
Yeah.
And the your 4 meter.
So there's two episodes that we kind of found a diamond in the rough. We got two planes for like $150.
Yeah.
Large scale planes too.
Doesn't mean we can't do it at Ceph though.
That's true.
They have a swap meet there. Maybe we can kind of revisit it.
So if you guys haven't seen, there's two episodes that we did from last year at Weak Signals, and I forget the name. It's 38cc Gasser or something like that. And then glider. There's a glider toe episode.
Glider toe. Watch the glider toe.
He's hysterical. Because towing without ailerons, 4 meter glider that you fly two times is very interesting.
Yes.
By the way, for the show notes, the dragon we were just talking about and the B-17 we were just talking about, I have pictures of for the show notes. So.
Nice.
Just FYI.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And Adam was there when we were looking at the B-17. And he's like, and he talked about all these. Are you taking pictures?
I'm taking a panoramic photo, man.
That's called multitasking.
So he was telling me about all the different things and on the real plane what things were actually for, and that was really cool. It's like a history lesson.
Yeah,
it was really nice. And I'm trying to think what else, any other good stories from
Toledo.
Yes.
The dad, Garrett, and his dad drove all the way from Iowa, which is pretty awesome. I met some great people from Canada, and it was I think one of the people I mentioned, but I had to figure out which one. Let's see. There's a lot.
There's too many.
Yeah. The technology was really cool. It's funny because the hobby is just growing at such a fast pace. It doesn't really catch you off guard like you used to. But one thing that really impressed me with is Adam from RC Logger.
Oh, yeah,
sent us with a couple multi-rotors, which we're going to try out.
I forget what they're called.
They're called RCI-1 Extreme, I believe.
Yes.
Long story short, I took it in my backyard and flew it because they have a really amazing case.
Mm-hmm.
And I flew this little thing, and I'm not fond of the controller. But brushless motors, it was pretty darn
impressive. Yeah, for the price, I was super impressed. It has a barometric meter.
Yeah, barometric pressure meter. By the way, this has just turned into what's new in RC.
Yeah.
well, no, it's what's new at the Toledo show.
There so. You go. It has the barrel, and also it can carry a GoPro.
Did you try it yet?
I have not, but he said it could carry two Mobiuses. I'm going to try Mobius and a Link because they actually sell a miniature FPV Link going to their RC Link, which I guess we're going to be trying out sometime later, maybe in the future. But I want to see
price on it. Price on it was $130.
$130, yeah,
which is about the same as I think
Alias or a 1SQ or
180QX. I think it maybe might be 150.
Pretty great value.
And I can say right now, if I had $130 and I was going to go towards the 130, did I say it right? The QX 130.
180 QX.
All the different numbers are just
The 180 QX is the
180 QX. Yeah. I think honestly, this time I would actually say go to RC Largus.
It's the only one with brushless motors.
Beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, I'm gushing over just my maybe 20 minutes of flying it, but I'm really happy with that so far. So that was a highlight of that day.
I saw some really cool discus launch gliders, and I talked to Alex from. Skip Miller Models. We talked for quite a bit.
Really nice gentleman.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy. And Skip as well, and all their whole crew is really nice. So I did get a chance to hang out at their booth for quite a bit and feel the Freak and Super Freak and Orions, and it was kind of nice. And it's fun to talk to people that are geeky in the same sense as well.
I gotta step out for a second, but bring up Great Hobbies.
Okay, so Alex, you go.
Yeah, Gary and Jim from Great Hobbies. It was awesome to finally get to meet you guys in person. We got a chance to go out to dinner with them and hang out at the show.
So what's this Great Hobbies?
Great Hobbies, what is it, Austin? The largest
RC supplier in Canada.
Yeah, so they have a couple or numerous stores up there, which I saw. And they actually have a YouTube channel, and I was looking. They shoot their videos inside the store, and I was telling Gary from Great Hobbies, like, I wish we had an RC hobby shop like that, you know, here in the States, because the ones that are around here locally are not nearly to the caliber. It was like a Best Buy pretty much for RC stuff.
Nice.
Like everything, like trucks, cars, boats, airplanes, multi-rotor, submarines.
Oh, wow.
Cool lighted displays and all this cool stuff. So I would love to make it up to one of those someday. But
they're up in Canada, right?
Yeah. Canada, I forget the exact locations, but they have multiple locations all over Canada.
Yeah. Pretty cool. He's very like Josh, super energetic, man.
He's like a Canadian Josh.
Yeah. Eh? No, it's awesome. Gary, it was very nice to meet you.
They have locations in Prince Edward Island, Edmonton, Alberta, Ottawa, Ontario, Mississauga, Ontario. I think I got that right. And yeah, so really, really cool guys. It was great spending time with them. And yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Let's see, I was trying to think of other cool stuff that I saw. Like 2 years ago or even last year, there was hardly any multirotors.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like one or two display cases.
Even last year there wasn't too many. There was like a couple here and there, a couple brushless gimbals. But
yeah, now it's just half the things. It was pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy how fast it's growing.
Yeah, and we saw tons of different ones. We met William.
Yeah, speaking of Canadians, William Wagonist.
Wagonist, yes.
From Canada, and we've met him a couple times. We met him at Neat. We originally met him last year at Toledo. Was he at Nall?
No. Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of Neat.
Neat, yeah.
Yeah. But he came by today with Backbone for the GoPro.
Yeah, which is a mod kit that makes GoPro able to have different lenses. You can swap them really easy. It's a quick mount for a CS, M12 lenses. And even with an adapter, you can use old Canon lenses or even Nikon lenses. It's pretty awesome, actually. I don't know. I mean, depends on what you're after, but it's pretty cool technology.
Yeah.
It looks pretty polished for being at CES.
Yeah, basically you have to mod your GoPro. You have to take it apart and put a mod on it. But
he just left a couple hours ago.
Yep. So thanks, Will, for stopping by.
Yeah, and he was there. I had a display and showed that off and
I'm
all
back.
That.
Josh,
I'm
back.
I'm Batman.
He actually left us some stuff from Ribcage for us to test and to check out over the next month or so. So we're going to be testing that stuff. So I would probably look for an episode on YouTube. I would say probably sometime in May.
Yeah.
Awesome. So. Did you guys talk about Great Hobbies?
Yes. We did.
And by the way, Gary, special message to you. My kids now do call you Crazy Uncle Gary. So your wish has been fulfilled.
And so does Josh. It's really kind of weird.
Yeah. Should be Crazy Brother Gary.
I guess he could be your uncle. Maybe. not sure how that would work. But cool. Well, I think we covered Tolito Show. Yeah.
Do you want to go with a lightning round? Because we're trying to get in the RV.
Have we talked about the RV?
No.
And our plans?
We talked about Seth.
That we're going.
That's about it.
Josh just pulled the RV. It's sitting right outside the window right now. We're fairly loaded up.
Where did you get it?
Neff Brothers RV. Yep.
Is that the same place?
The same one. That's why it's so beautiful. Basically, Neff Brothers RV has been really gracious to us. Guys, if you're coming in for Flight Fest or anything like that and you need to rent an RV, I know there's a father and son coming in from United Kingdom already that they told us about, and you need an RV, check out neffbrosrv.com. They're not paying for this plug, by the way. It's personal. But what we did negotiate is we're going to release, after this video for the Seth Experience comes out, you say the code Flight Test, and they're going to give you $75 in free gas. So if you do come to the States, you need an RV for anything, just say Flight Test. You get 75. That's like maybe half a tank. It goes a long way. But their RVs are beautiful, and they have this really cool program that they do.
You have to rent an RV too. You can't just get $75 gas card.
I'm gonna stop by once a week.
Flighttest.com. Yeah, you gotta rent an RV. But anyway, yeah, Neff Bros. They're not gonna hear this, so they don't know I'm saying it. But they took really great care of us. And if you see a beautiful RV, it's not because we're lavish and luxurious. It's because they've blessed us abundantly. Yeah, besides that, I want to say thank you. My wife doesn't listen to the podcast because she hears me talk all the time anyway. But Jennifer went out and got us.
She stocked up like crazy. Yeah.
We would be in such trouble without amazing women in our lives. And Jen, I love you, even though you'll never hear this. But she hooked us up with food and drink and Mountain Dew and more Mountain Dew.
Yeah, and soap, which and soap. We would completely have gotten
We
otherwise.
Would have been stinky and gross. So, yeah, and I forgot my blanket and pillow, and she got me a blanket and pillow. So that's a good thing. We won't go into any other personal items.
Yeah, basically, we would be sunk without women.
Oh, yeah. We managed to fit the
monster
planes in there.
And the Kraken.
And the Kraken, yeah.
We're going to be cracking on the Hobby King guys, I think. What do you think?
Oh,
I heard about
yeah.
that challenge last minute.
Get yeah.
It, get it cracking on the Hobby King.
See what you did there.
So we're going to, we brought the Kraken, and it's our beat-up Kraken. It's the one, if you guys watch the episode today, you'll see.
In the Blackout.
In the Blackout episode.
Yes. Blackout.
And by the way, what is today? We always got to mention
Monday.
Yes. Today is the Monday. It's April 7th.
There you go. The video being released will have the
This is being released as soon as I get edited and uploaded. Because I think Brian's gone already.
No, he's still here.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
I thought he had to leave.
It's going to be a good let's fly. He's putting a lot of heart into this.
Yeah, right. Which thanks again, Blackout, for making such an awesome product.
We love
yeah.
it.
That was Brian even said it was one of his favorite episodes so far.
It was only 8 cameras to sync up and cut. So.
And he has to stare at flight test footage all day. So for Brian to say it's pretty good, then it's probably pretty good.
Yeah, he was having a lot of fun. Well, I couldn't believe the evil things we did to those quads because you just get they're so freeing, you know? You fly them, you feel like you have no boundaries.
Yeah, normally you get a little anxious when you're flying the FPV or something like that, or something that's really nice. But with this thing, it just feel so comfortable. It's so locked in and dialed in and fast, and you can just cruise around, and you get pretty comfortable pretty quick, and then you find yourself like
dive bombing,
flying through the trees, like going as fast as you can. And
so for those of you that didn't catch that, today, Monday, April 7th, we're releasing an episode on Blackout's H-Quads and Spider Hex.
Yes.
So we had just hilarious fun chasing Josh Scott. And
yeah,
all that
which they're actually meant for racing, but we...
Chase things.
We're not really too competitive, so we just like to crash and chase Josh Scott with a Kraken.
Yeah. And he flew the Kraken really well. I'm proud of him.
Yeah. That was nice. I like the bomb bay on the bottom. That in the episode, it's not really well explained because we found out afterwards. And the bomb bay opens up. And
a little bit of a design flaw on my part.
Yeah, so it gets sucked into the prop.
It goes, so, wah,
wah. It's like, I wonder what that noise is.
It sounded like a foghorn.
Like, that prop was like half the size when it came back down.
Even after we landed and closed the video, none of us realized it. It wasn't until like I looked at the shop here and there's a big old like chunk taken out of the bomb bay.
Yeah. So, and the prop was half the size.
It's in the RV right now, still on its damn. I mean, that plane is so mangled right now. The only reason it's still alive is because there's lights inside of it.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God.
Oh, there's light in?
Yeah,
lights in it?
That,
nice.
That's why I was animated about bringing it. Yeah, we have the color changing Hobby King lights inside. Nice. It's pretty cool.
I think that's poetic justice to kill a flight, kill the Hobby King plane
with DT-750s and plush
30s. Yeah.
Yeah, well, for those of you who don't know or haven't seen the video, Hobby King issued a challenge. They're making their YouTube channel is making a 3-meter blue core foam profile 3D plane, an SBOC.
Yeah,
and they issued a challenge to anybody who wanted to make a giant scale something or other. So we'll see if they
accept or not. We'll see.
Yeah,
because
the Kraken challenge accepted.
Release the Kraken. What they don't know is a whole bunch of little baby Krakens are going to come out of its belly and swarm it, eat it before it gets to the ground. Sorry,
it sounds dramatic.
This was really weird. Joshua.
All right. Well, I know you guys are trying to get out the door to Seth, so let's go ahead and go to the lightning round Q&A.
Lightning.
Here's the first question.
And awkward silence. Okay, so audio is working.
Yeah, I think so.
Hello and welcome to Flight Test Phone. For information on our latest episodes, press 1. For FPV and telemetry, press 2. Swappable series, press 3. Prop selection, press 4. For all other inquiries, please hang up your flip phone and buy a smartphone. Thank you for calling Movie Phone. I mean Flight Test Phone.
I can tell that was Keith Brown. Hey, Keith.
Keith sent that a couple weeks ago, and I just couldn't resist.
Oh, my goodness.
And by the way, people that have submitted voicemails a couple weeks ago and haven't heard yours yet, it probably is in the queue. I just haven't gotten to it yet, so thanks for your patience. Next.
Hello, Flight Test. This is Yvonne from Mountainy, British Columbia, Canada. First off, I'd like to say that I count us lucky that you found one another. The RC community is a better place with Flight Test. Thank you for who you are. So about 10 years ago, when I got serious into the hobby, I found a different path to the usual. Somehow, hundreds of hours gluing little balsa sticks together only to let somebody else fly your plane for the first time didn't appeal to me. I found SPAD. Simple plastic airplane design. Corrugated plastic for wings and feathers, PVC gutter plate for fuselage, plastic cutting boards for engine mounts, and CA to hold it all together. These planes were nearly indestructible. We taught ourselves to fly. No simulators, no trainer cables. My question to you is, have you tried SPAD? What do you see as the pros and cons? If you haven't tried SPAD, you should try it. I challenge you to build something and show us how it goes. You might love it. Happy trails.
Joshua Melvin Bixler.
SPAD is awesome. you know, this is like, probably, I don't know if it'd be considered pre-SPAD or parallel with SPAD, but I was big into the Sturdy Birdies and Duraplanes, which were also aluminum channel PVC pipe, but this time foam core wings. But also Air Corps, they used a lot of the SPAD techniques, which was they used Corplast, and then they used contact cement, and they would stick it together through that. So, yeah, have I ever built one? No, but have I ever flown other people's? Absolutely, and they're a riot. Mostly it was Glow, though.
They were more popular back in the day, because now we're almost doing the same thing, just with foam. It's the same mentality, just stuff that's already around that you can use and fly and crash.
And we did kind of go borderline SPAD on the paintball episode with when we built a big fun bat looking thing, and we paintballed it. And it was crazy durable, and we didn't really brace it all that well, and it was kind of floppy, but it flew great, and we had a good time with it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
SPAD's cool.
SPAD is awesome. Search for it. If you don't know what it is, look it up on the internet. It's pretty awesome.
All right, this next question is from a podcast regular. Here we go.
Hi, guys. It's Micah McCarthy again from New York. I really appreciate you guys playing my question last time. My next question is in regards to large multi-day flying events such as Joe Knoll, Ceph, and Neat. What do you guys bring in terms of camping equipment, flying necessities such as chargers and tools, and miscellaneous stuff that you guys have found helpful at larger events? It'd be really helpful if you listed a couple things, either on the podcast or on flighttest.com, that you find beneficial or imperative to have at these big fly-ins. As always, love the podcast, God bless, and fly low.
Micah.
I love how we're like the least qualified people to answer that question.
Yeah. No,
this is a good question, though, because we're actually in the process of loading our RV to go to Ceph.
Yeah, so this might actually make us think a little bit.
This might help us.
Yeah, so no, what we usually do is we extend one arm on over the table and we put a box at the end and just go. And then we throw that in the back of the RV.
Packing.
We were discussing,
that's called packing, yes.
We were discussing our packing technique, which is we just scrape everything off the table into a box and walk out the
door. Yeah, literally, I did go to the girls in the shipping room. I was like, what's the biggest box we have? And they gave me one, and me and Josh were just like loading.
We have something called the Bag O' Servos.
Bag O' Servos.
And it started out as 100 servos, and you think that sounds a lot?
It's a week.
We burn through them so quickly. Like,
we do. We build a lot.
So we have a big box of random, but other stuff is food.
Lots of
which
food.
Jen took care of.
Soap, toilet paper.
We normally bring about like 50 planes, and then we end up flying like 3 of them.
Yeah, usually, yeah, we stuff it full as we can get. Usually, half of the planes are not flyable. We usually think that we're going to fix them while we're there, and they go for a trip there and back without seeing any action.
Every year we're like, you know, we're just going to pack real light and stuff. But this time we actually have more products from other people than we do our own products. Normally bring down all our different swappables.
Well,
but
the whole idea is that when we get there, we want to build with you guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring down some kits and some glue guns, some tables, and set up and maybe build a plane or two.
And actually, there's a plane that we may be releasing soon that we want to get some people's opinions on.
Yeah.
That may not be available yet, but I'd like to have some build time with people.
We have a lot of
B-51.
We have a lot of multi-rotors this time, too.
Yeah. We have tons of stuff, and we're hoping to have as many things survive as possible.
Really?
Is that really the goal now?
I felt obligated saying it.
No, I'm sure that's the goal.
At NEF, not Ceph, but NEF, the indoor thing, we played passive transmitter a lot.
Yeah.
Boy, and what a great experience.
Yeah, it's almost better than flying yourself, I think.
Honestly,
so,
like all the different manufacturers out there, I think they should honestly do passive transmitter instead of like
instead
demos,
of having, yeah.
Because boy, what's better, having an expert fly a plane that could fly a bad plane good, or having every normal day Joe's fly and then share the experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Mike, to answer your question, we really don't have a list or a process, but your question has awakened us to the fact that we probably should have some sort of list or process.
And I'm sure by next year we'll probably start thinking about getting on that.
The worst was last year, Joe Knoll. I don't even know how we had things that were,
well,
I don't know.
Alex was there till like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night just running kits, and then Jen came in and brought some more organization in. But without Alex running, if anyone bought anything at Joe Knoll from us, because we had a booth open or a table, I guess you can say, it was because Alex stayed till wee hours of the night, you know, running product.
Yeah, and that we won't be bringing any product this time.
No, Laser Toys is going to be there.
Right, but we personally won't be. So if you want to buy something from us, buy it from Laser Toys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, next question.
Lightning!
Hey Flight Test, this is Finn from Ottawa. I have a question about airfoils. So I thought a wing worked because the air passed beneath the wings slower than above, but in that case, how can a plane fly inverted? Because wouldn't the wing be driving the plane towards the ground? Thanks, and greetings from Canada, where we fly planes in minus 20.
That's hardcore hobbyist, man.
That yeah, so, okay, Lightning, do you want to go first?
I would say relative angle of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And also, no one knows how lift happens. It's just magic.
Actually, they do. It's very well documented. Okay, it's two theories that both works the roughly the same. You have Bernoulli's principle, yes. Which the air is slower on the top on the bottom than the top. The top therefore creates a low pressure zone
sucking into the air.
Yeah, and then you have the other one, which is Newton's second law of
Thermodynamics.
Yeah, thermodynamics. And that states that each action has an opposite and equal reaction. So whenever the air is being deflected on the bottom downwards, it's pushing the wing upwards. In the case of attack.
In case of inverted flight, I would say it's probably more of the Newton's law, because you notice that you have to have a much steeper angle of attack to maintain inverted flight.
Yeah, because it's sucking it down.
Yeah. Unless it's symmetrical, and then it's kind of all relative then.
That's why it's so hard to fly under cambered airfoil inverted.
So there you go. There you guys go. Newtonian physics. This is a free podcast. So.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Still think it's magic.
Hey, Flight Test. My name's Jake. I'm 14 years old, and I live in Alberta, Canada. I've recently just built David's Tricopter. I purchased a multi-pro board with GPS because the KK2 seems to always be out of stock. I was wondering your overall thoughts on the board is, as well as the settings that you use. My second question is for Josh Bixler. In your last episode of Flight Test with the full-scale plane smoke system, Josh mentioned at the end of the episode that he wanted to create an electric RC smoke system. I thought this would be a really great idea since you can only get the smoke effect with most gassers. I thought it would be cool to see it on FT3D with the same scheme as that with the same paint scheme that they used on the full-scale plane. Thank you. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Okay, so first question on the tricopter. No, I have not used the pro board with the GPS. I have flown the Multiwee 1.5, the Flip 1.5, and the Flip Pro. And I don't have any really good settings yet. I'm still trying. I actually flew the other day, and I still don't have settings that I'm 100% happy with. So I don't want to share anything that I don't.
When you are happy, you'll share, though.
Yes, I will. So the tricopter is currently down. So when I get back, I hope to get it up in the air.
You didn't put it in the bucket of stuff that we're taking in the set?
No, because it's missing two arms and the tail got busted.
And you have like five other multi-rotors.
Yes, so that one is staying. I still fly the KK2 board one. Awesome. for the show, usually. So your question?
My question was in regards to the smoke system. And I'm pretty sure, actually, I'll probably be picking your brain down to Seth, but all I want to do is simply take an outer shell and then an inner core that gets cherry red hot, pump the fluid through, and then let the expansion drive it out the back end and then the speed of the plane. So I like the idea of putting on FT3D. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fine. I'm thinking nichrome wire.
Yeah, just a hot wire. Just have to match the length to the voltage of the battery.
The sad thing is I was playing with the toaster. I was making my son a bagel, and I was blowing into the toaster to see, like, how much wind and stuff. And I realized, okay, that toaster wire, it had to be so much current going through to overpower the cold, you know, liquid coming on it.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting, but I think that could be a really cool episode because they do have it now. They do make a smoke system for electrics, but it's like $600.
Woo!
$380 to $600, I think, is what I saw the price tag was. So.
Wow.
I want to see if we can make one for under 50.
We can make one for 10. Okay, I shouldn't. Five.
David, make that smoke system.
Dollar. All right, lightning.
Okay. Lightning.
Hi, this is Case from Houston, Texas, and I was going to flight this, but that's not what I'm talking about today, but I wanted to ask or tell you guys that one of my first RC builds, my very first RC build, was your F-22, the very first one, and it was very cool. I didn't get to fly it because when I was building it, I cut my hand, like, open, and so now I have a 3-inch scar on below my thumb, but I still fly. I love you guys. I always watch your videos, and I was planning to get your FT Versa Wing with your conversion. So thank you guys for helping me into this hobby. You were the very first people that I found that did this hobby. And you guys are awesome. Keep doing good stuff. And you see you at Flight Fest.
Hi, Can't wait to meet him.
Wow. Yeah, poor. That sounds awful. Sorry about your injury.
Definitely you got to be careful because I did the exact same thing. My first build was a baby blender. And, like, I was just going nuts. It's like, this is awesome. I was having a great time.
and just totally sliced my index finger. Just
there
is hazards to building that you have to be really, 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 really careful.
If you're gonna build, you are gonna cut yourself. It's no, it's not if, it's when. And prepare for that beforehand. Have bandages and
peroxide.
Always cut away from you. Never cut towards yourself. I know, that's obvious, but that's how I did it. I knew that, and I did it anyway.
You watch my videos, and every video where I cut a hinge, I'm pulling it towards my belly. So,
Guys. So always cut other people, not yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I feel so bad for him.
But looking forward to seeing you, Case, at Flight Fest. And I think he was from Texas. So that's
that's pretty awesome.
It's amazing. Quite the hike. Awesome.
And one thing too is if you're talking about like hinge cuts and stuff like that, you can use a sanding block.
That's true. So, no blades required.
Correct.
Okay, next question.
Hi guys, it's Victor from Sweden again. Since I live in Sweden, which is pretty far away from the States, I can't be on any of the events you guys go to. But I have thought of something that's almost as good. Phoenix, the flight simulator, have a multiplayer mode where you can set up your own server and play with other people that's online. So my question for you guys is, could you have something like a Phoenix Hangout where people all around the world can join and fly with you guys? And I really want to thank you for all the things you do for the hobby. I really appreciate it. And stay awesome. Bye.
Victor.
That's a great idea.
That's a cool idea.
That is really cool.
Yeah. Do it. I'm not here. So
what's
do
the
it.
Technology that he's talking about?
Take 360 degree panorama around the flying field and upwards and down. Oh, I hit the mic.
Oh, I thought he was just saying do like multiplayer, like do a live podcast and then log into like a simulator like Phoenix or.
Yeah, both. But if you take the pictures from the field,
they
can be there as well and we can fly with them.
Yeah.
So make a photo field.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. Our flying and field fly flight test headquarters isn't really the
isn't worth taking a panoramic.
How about if we use Fury Airstrip until we get a destination location?
Sounds like fun. Cool.
That would be awesome. And then it would be cool to set up and fly with have certain dates where you can fly.
Well, you can just do it with the podcast, like FDR, like what you guys did with After Hours.
Yeah.
And just so you can talk and just like fly.
Yeah, fly around and just talk with like crazy people doing combat.
I love it.
Sounds awesome.
Next.
Hi there, Flight Test. My name is Paul, and I would like to know what your opinion is of the Fat Shark Teleporter 3 ready-to-fly system for FPV.
Wow, to the point.
To the point.
Thank you. Do you want to share
my experience with the teleporter system?
Yeah. Have you tried it?
Nope.
Okay. I personally think by the normal...
Attitude
SD and just buy a 600 milliwatt transmitter and like a better camera than
is the teleporter system kind of like the Predator or the Dominator?
I think they're like the Attitude SD. It depends on their different kinds depending on which year you got them, but they come with a pan and tilt system and certain of them actually use the 433 megahertz link to do the head tracking.
Got it.
But I personally don't like the camera that comes with it and the pan and tilt. I mean, for some people, it might be all right. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian. What's up?
We're giving Brian a key real quick here.
I need
a key. Oh. Okay. Yeah, we're going to be gone.
Okay.
So, personal experience... I think it's a better investment getting another camera and the Attitude SDs.
Fair enough. All right. Let's go to the next question.
Hey, Dave, I have a question for you about, I guess, the recent post on the different batteries. I was just wondering if Flight Test was going to go ahead and test them. I know a while back you guys tested different LiPos and that nice setup that you had with the lights. I was just wondering if that's something that you're going to be looking at and doing for future shows.
Since I'm not going to be here...
Recap for me.
What was the question?
The question was, do you remember light test we did with the Turingi battery versus the Thunder Power battery?
I do.
So he was saying testing new batteries and other batteries like that.
I think, yeah. You know what? We are going to be testing batteries. And I think a new idea we're going to try is maybe possibly doing, rather than just like okay, here, look at the battery. Well, look, we put 100 amps through it. Isn't this cool? Look, it did better than this battery. What's the long term? Because some batteries may not give that awesome performance, but they may last forever.
Yeah, because so. Let's throw around some manufacturers already. Because my experience with the Nanotechs, mm-hmm. awesome batteries when you get it out of the box, perform wonderfully. 10 cycles later, they're going down like crazy.
The Turnigy, I'm having better luck with just the standard old Turnigies.
Yeah, me too.
I got some that are round as cylinders now, and I still put charges through them, and they still perform. So,
disclaimer, do not do that.
Don't do that, because I did actually throw one outside that caught on fire from charging it. What is there? There's
multiple different ones. I'm flying the Zippies.
Yep.
And they are lasting a long time so
Zippies
far.
Zippies are doing good. And then there's also, I'm thinking it's on the tip of my tongue.
Gen Ace.
There's a gentleman gave it at the Toledo show. He gave me a battery to try. I was like, you will not be able to kill it, which that's a bold statement.
Venom.
Venom, yep. Yes. So what I think we should do is rather than just try a battery once or twice, maybe just do all exclusively a certain battery for like maybe 3, 4, or 5 months. And then at the end of that, we can see how many batteries we came in with, how many we left, and what our overall experience is.
Okay, I'm going to be a little bold here and issue you a challenge. Go around to different people at Flight Fest and ask, what's your experience with the different batteries? Get a little poll going.
I like that.
So, if you're going to Flight Fest, think about how you like your batteries.
I like that. How do you like your batteries? Well, you know, one cool thing about that, too, is you can take all their experience and the type of flying. If a lot of people are, like, 3D and they're having better experience, but other people are sailplanes. And
exactly.
You'll be able to start kind of seeing patterns.
Yeah, if you fly a low C rating application, you might see something else, but... for instance, high-speed EDF guys, they have to have that voltage going.
Yeah. Multi-rotor guys, too.
Yeah, it depends on... If you have a larger battery like the Tricopter, I'm not drawing 10 Cs out of that.
Wow.
Barely. Like, it all depends on what you're doing.
Very cool.
Lightning.
Lightning.
All right, this is probably going to be our last question.
Because we're rambling and we lost an Alex.
Yes, well, that too. Here we go.
Hi, I have two questions for you guys. First question is, when will your guys' next open house be? I want to come out and meet you guys. I'm all the way over here in California. And the second question is, I'm an intermediate to expert pilot. What would be the best first warbird to buy? As in stability and stuff like that, because I'm... I hear the P-51 isn't the best. I hear it stalls pretty fast and hard. So something that's stable, but looks scale in the air. Thanks.
So I would recommend the Trojan. Fantastic warbird. Doesn't look like a
traditional warbird.
Yeah, not a fast warbird or whatever.
Performs cool. Amazing, though.
So most warbirds are... when they're actually made to scale, all warbirds are pretty bad.
Yeah,
the FT Spitfire. I didn't even hear the question. I just walked back in.
So yeah, there's a difference here. If you want to go, FT Spitfire, it's phenomenal, and the P-51 that you're designing now is absolutely.
It'll be definitely a stable platform.
Yeah, and they don't tip stall and they don't do bad stuff. They don't have those bad tendencies, but
they lack a little bit on the scale.
Yeah.
We tweaked them to make them fly nice.
Yeah, they
and
don't. I mean, they don't look like a molded plane. That's correct. Just. Yeah. And, like, for instance, the Hobby King. What's that?
Corsair.
The Corsair. Yeah. That is the worst airplane, worst stall characteristics I've experienced.
Well, and the sad thing is it's not from lack of the plane, it's just truly a warbird.
Yeah, they made it exactly to scale. Yeah. And. It's horrible.
And it flies exactly like
you. Yeah, I think so.
I remember Chad, I flew it around, had no problems with it and everything. But then again, I got the opportunity to fly warbirds. I know Chad took it and had plenty of power, but he popped it in the air before the wings were lifting. And that, the power can lift it, but the wings aren't.
Yeah.
And that sucker just torqued over. There was no coming back. And it cartwheeled pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Broke the prop. Yeah. So you gotta, yeah, with warbirds, key to success with warbirds is smooth application of the throttle, lift up that tail, build your speed, then gently lift it in the air when it's
ready.
Fly the wings.
And counter the torque.
Yes. Yeah. Don't stall it. You know, don't fly it like a 3D plane. Don't fly it slow. But don't fly at full throttle either. Find your cruise speed, find your climbing.
Which is 9/10 full power.
It's usually 2/3 to 3/4, yeah. It seems like.
Yeah. Keep up the speed, never turn too tight.
And don't go too crazy on the throws, too. A lot of people dial up their throws thinking it'll help them, and all they get is a high-speed stall with a snap at the end.
The high-speed stalls are the craziest and the most dangerous to get into because you don't know when you're flying normally, you never get into that situation with normal planes, so the first time you experience it, you freak out.
Yeah, it's like, why is the wing dropping when I'm going 90 miles an hour kind of
thing? Yeah, and you're like, that it doesn't make any sense.
And the hardest thing with recovery with that is the first thing you want to do is counteract it. What you got to do is you actually just got to get that nose down and get the speed up again and then smoothly pull out of it.
Yeah, don't touch it.
If you get your throws where they're supposed to be, you'll never really high-speed stall in the way, unless you're coming out the bottom of a loop, you know, really irresponsibly.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely flying the wing and understanding there's an envelope that exists that used to exist on all airplanes. Now a lot of planes, it's not there, and people don't understand that.
Yeah.
So learn the envelope.
It's very interesting because, flying the wing compared to – you fly the wing on a glider compared to – but then you don't have any torque. Yeah. And also you're purely flying a lift from an airfoil that's designed for it. Whereas a warbird has usually an airfoil that's made for 500 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's just shrunk down, and now you're suspected of flying. You should be flying at 30 miles an hour.
Doesn't scale well at all.
No, so that's some problems.
I can probably answer the open house question, although we will probably have an open house towards the end of the month here. From California, I would recommend just coming to Flight Fest.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the open house, while they're a lot of fun, they're not exactly...
They're 5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, they're not like an event. I mean, like it's literally an open house.
Yeah.
And so I would recommend coming to Flight Fest where it's 3 days. You can stay a while. Mm-hmm. We're planning on being there, you know, obviously the whole time. And so we're just there to hang out with people. And so
Is there any possible way we can pull you back for Flight Fest?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed and all that visa stuff.
I hate visa stuff.
Because it's, Well, we'll try to figure out the details of that. But anyway, Flight Fest is going to be a ton of fun. And also, there'll be a lot more details on that to come. One thing that we found out talking to people at Toledo Show, like pretty much everybody we talked to said, oh, yeah, we're coming to Flight Fest. And we realize exactly how little information we've put out on it.
Yeah.
So definitely look for a Kickstarter soon.
You're spending this week while we're gone.
Yeah, actually, this week while the guys are gone, I'm going to be working on a website for Flight Fest. And so by the next podcast, that should be ready to go. Hopefully the next couple of days it'll be up. But we'll put a banner on the top of the site. We'll be pumping it out on Facebook, mentioning it in videos. So, if you guys are... tuned in at all, you'll be finding more information on it.
Nice. So if you want to say goodbye before I go back, either find us at Ceph or the...
at the end of the month, we'll announce the details.
Yes, around the 26th.
Yes.
Ish.
Because you leave the 29th.
So it has to be before then. So anyway, let's get these guys out the door to Ceph. I got to edit this and upload it so all you... can listen to it.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and thanks for rating this podcast on iTunes.
Absolutely, and also I noticed that we're at 149,000 subscribers.
Oh, really?
YouTube, and so we're actually it's like 149,700. So if 300 more people subscribe, we'll hit 150 today.
Are you 150?
It
took us 2 years to get to 33,000.
Yeah,
and you guys have blessed us from 33,000 to 150 in a year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Or a little less than that. That's pretty wild. So anyway, thank you all for subscribing. That's the best way to keep in touch with us.
And
supporting us, absolutely. So we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sam. To Ceph we go.
Whee!
Yay! How do you get the last word in?
And see.